Hello, I'm Dan.
And I'm Brent.
And welcome to The Journey. We want to thank you for listening to this podcast. This first podcast, we're just going to go through some questions and have some dialogue about the questions that were posted on the blog, on the website, under the section, The Journey. Reason why I've asked these questions, because these are things that if Father is courting you to start the journey with Him, these are things that you've encountered. Would that be a true statement?
Yeah.
All right. First question, Brother Brent. How much emphasis in your institutional church life was put on your personal relationship with Father versus the do's and the don'ts of the institution itself?
Well, most of the time you don't find much of that. Now, I happen to be in two churches where they seem to be a little bit more of that. But in most scenarios, you won't find that.
That's right. And going and looking at that, it seems like, would this be a true statement? It's always about what's best for the church.
Mm-hmm.
Not what's best for the individual.
Right.
And so many times that can be, and I'll move to that one in a minute, but I've seen so much emphasis put on programs, what we want to accomplish, and it seems like it's pulled away from the person. The other objective of that is they're aiming to get someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like once they get you, they're not concerned for you.
Right.
Because they're busy getting somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Second question, what does the institution ask of you that you are reluctant to do?
Well, a lot. You know, it's been said that 20% of the people do 80% of the workload in your normal, typical institutional church.
Right.
And, you know, quite honestly, that creates a situation for the people carrying that load and usually ends up in burnout, and it becomes a job to them, and they've got to come early to do and stay late to finish up, and they're busy the whole time they're there.
Well, you know the old slogan, and it's true. If you want something done, give it to a busy person.
Mm-hmm.
But the consideration is not given to that person because they don't have a chance to enjoy or experience what the other parishioners do because they're busy about the work.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of like you and I were talking earlier about Mary and Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Mary was busy about the work. And
Jesus' take on it was that Mary picked the better road.
She was busy about the good work.
Yeah, well, she wanted to learn about kingdom.
Absolutely. And ding, nugget.
Yeah, nugget right there.
We'll be getting into discussions on that. All right, third question. Have you, in your experience, left an institutional church feeling as empty as you were when you went in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go with expectations.
Right. I think there's a lot of people that go and they have a high expectation and they leave with same questions, same emptiness that they came in with. Sometimes it's even probably more.
Right.
The deeper you go, the longer you go, the more you search, and the less you see, it just becomes frustrating.
It is, because, you know, it's I almost compare it. If there, let's say there was a hamburger joint in town, and the only thing that they sold was hamburger. They wouldn't sell cheeseburgers. It was just hamburgers, and it had ketchup, mustard, a certain number of, you know, items like that.
Condiments,
lettuce.
Yeah.
And you could only buy that burger and an order of fries and one specific flavor of beverage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were hungry for that, you would go there.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't go there every day, would you?
Probably not, if there was something else to get.
Okay, and my point from that is this. It's the same thing every time.
Yeah, that's true.
Very the repetitive. Sermon sandwich.
Yeah.
It, like clockwork,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so why would we not expect people to come away feeling empty? Because they know there is nothing fresh. It works the same way.
Right.
You can look at your clock and know what time the singing's going to be over, mm-hmm. what time the offering's going to go. Now, there gets to be a little charged up when the offerings are low, because then you're going to get a sermon
right.
on tithing.
Yeah.
And he's going to get excited about that. All right. Number four, are you looking for a new, fresh experience with God? How many people you think, now think about this for a minute. I want to frame my words right. Think about when you became a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and you were saved and you were invited to a church.
Mm-hmm.
How many people did you look at and say, I want to be like them? Was there anything special about them that challenged you and set before you an example of what you wanted to be?
Well, in some cases, but
for the most part.
Right. No.
Here's a clear sign of that. And I love this, Brenton. You and I have talked about this on numerous occasions. At one church where I was on staff, I hate to laugh about this, but it's funny. They would have deacons at each door to greet the people,
mm-hmm.
okay, when they come in on that morning. And it was so funny to watch the family or the husband or wife. This is not funny in a good way. But you'd see them fighting as they pull up in the church parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay?
I've seen it.
And then, man, it's like they can turn that thing off. Well, how you doing there, brother? Good to see you.
Yeah.
You know, how you doing, Brother Joe? It's so wonderful to see. They just went three rounds, man, 2 miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Only reason why blows weren't thrown because didn't want to mess her makeup up.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And had the kids in the back. If you want to know what's going on, ask the kids in the back, because they're observing it the whole time anyway.
Yeah.
But going to church and seeing a movement of Father in a way that challenges you, that draws you to come closer to Him. Now, we're talking to a person that's asked this, you know, we're asking you this question, and they're saying, you know, I was just as empty when I left as when I went in.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're asking that question, then you need to listen to these audio podcasts, because
yeah.
we're going to address those issues and address our experiences with them. Number five, do you feel isolated and alone? We were talking about this earlier. Isn't it funny how you can be in a crowd of 1,000 and still be alone?
Yeah, be by yourself.
And if you listen and don't believe that, go to a country where you know no one and you don't speak their language.
Mm.
What you will do, now what do? If we were to drop us over in, let's say, Russia, the first thing I would try to do is find someone that spoke English.
Right.
Is that not what we do?
Yeah. You kind of got to get on the page where you know where you can get something to eat and how to get it.
Right. Because when you're dropped in there cold turkey, there's no understanding. There's no communication.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that, I want to ask the listener, how much communication have you been having with Father? And I'm not talking about, well, I went to church last night.
Right.
I'm not talking about what I learned. I'm talking about actual communication.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel isolated and alone? If you're the person that goes to church and you're sitting there and you feel like you're alone and you feel like this is not ministering to me in the way that I desire, there's a good chance that Father's calling you out. Would that be a true assessment?
Well, from your experience and my experience, that's the way it worked with us.
Right.
You know, when you beat your head against the wall long enough, you know, you realize that there is more. And, you know, it's a wild journey when you make that move, isn't it?
Oh, man. And we're going to talk about it. We will talk about isolation in the coming audio podcast that Father does.
Mm-hmm.
But even in that isolation, you're never alone.
Right.
You discover who He really is and who you really are in Him. Now, number six, do you feel like no one understands?
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're the only one going through it.
Right. You know, why am I feeling this way? Why am I looking at what's going on and thinking, man, there's got to be more than this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yet the guy is standing up there preaching. The Sunday school teacher is teaching. So it's not like you're not getting the word. What would you say it is?
It's just hard to say. I mean, it's, you know, there's just an emptiness. It doesn't, you know, and two, I think it depends on if it is a church that, you know, it's easier when they do have a relationship message, but that's few and far between.
Right, right.
It's all programs. You know, they have a schedule to follow, and there's no room for anything if the Lord wanted to do something.
Right, right. And if you feel like no one understands you, I want you to know that Father does.
Yeah, He does.
He knows exactly where you are at the very moment, and that there's purpose behind this. The one thing that religion does, and we find this in all flavors of denominations, and that is they've got all the answers. And the thing of it is, and you may have wondered about this, every different denomination takes Jesus and packages Him with their message, what it is they're trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to that, I think. And I know, Father, if you're listening to this and you're saying, I get that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purity in the relationship and in the Word that's not clouded with man's theology. Last question, then we're going to go ahead and move on into the institutional experience. Do you, and think about this, you've pondered this question, do you feel if you leave, you will be all alone? So many people, the reason why they stay where they are, because God's calling them to go somewhere they've never been.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went through a divorce after 18 years of marriage. You know, the first wife had an affair with another preacher. And I ended up, after the divorce, I ended up remarrying. God gave me a wonderful wife. But as I was driving down Interstate 40, I was looking in the rearview mirror and the side mirrors to looking where I had been.
Right.
And I'm looking out the windshield going somewhere where I had never been.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you feel you will be alone if you leave? You're going to have those thoughts and you're going to have those feelings.
Yeah.
But that's part of a bigger picture. Let me throw this in, then let's start off of that list. The reason why, if you're isolated, It is because Father wants to spend one-on-one time with you. I can only tell you my experience. Father pulled me out when I left the institution for 6 months. Brent, I had no fellowship.
Yeah.
Till you came along.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked God, I said, Lord, why are you doing this? And he told me, he said, because you base your relationship with me on whom you're a on who you have fellowship with.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize I was doing that. You know, it's kind of like flock mentality or herd mentality. There's safety in numbers.
Yeah.
And I challenge you, if you're listening to this, just seek Father on this and ask him to show you. Okay, that was just to answer the questions. Now, we want to, in the last 15 minutes of this podcast, we want to start in, Brother Brent has a list, and this is for you who are starting the journey. We want to examine the institutional experience. Yeah, let it go, Brent.
And in doing that, I just made a quick list of five things that are kind of like titles or headers that you follow. Yeah, first, you have to sign the membership.
Let's talk about that for a minute. They want you, in certain denominations, I know Assembly of God do it, a lot of the churches I know that do, they have a church covenant, and you have an agreement, at least my brother did when he was attending there.
Right.
He signed that he wouldn't drink, he wouldn't smoke, he wouldn't chew, he wouldn't curse.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was an agreement that was made.
Right.
With the church.
Yeah, so that's like the first stage when you go in. You've been there a few times. They invite you to come back.
Well, now, how's that any different with a social club? If you want to become a member of the country club, do you not sign an agreement with them?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. It's pretty much the same, isn't it?
But but the only difference, I think, you know, at least with the country club, you have some perks and benefits.
Yeah. Well, just to go over it real quick, you have the membership first, and then there's obligations while you're there. You know, for those that, you know, have a servanthood mentality, you know, or a calling. It's amazing, isn't it? In most of the churches that I spent any kind of time in, learning and listening and watching, it seemed like somebody would always come to me and say, well, you got a servanthood calling on your life. How would you like to help us with a banquet Saturday night? You know, they start plugging you in.
Right. Why let's stay on that just a minute. You know, I can only speak from the Baptist perspective because I came out of Southern Baptist. You know how we found new Sunday school teachers at one church that I belong to?
Mm-mm.
The Sunday school director would go around, and the closest person sitting to the door was volunteered by the director to be the teacher for that class or another class.
Yeah.
So everybody learned, and they took that chair out by the door, and everybody would sit as far away as they could from the door to keep from being nominated.
Right.
Because people don't know how to say no.
Yeah.
And if you try to say no, they'll guilt you. Mm-hmm. And most folks are not strong-willed. So, you know, they'll spill out all the benefits, there you go, for doing it. Well, you'll make a difference in somebody's life, Brother Brent, if you'll mm-hmm. do this. The Lord will bless you. Well, what if the Lord hasn't called you to do that?
Right.
And we've seen some train wrecks of people that didn't have a calling for public speaking to get up and simply make the announcements. I mean, man, it looks like they've been in a shower. They're wringing wet. They're stuttering and stammering, and I'm not making fun of them. It's right. just that they shouldn't have been put up there to begin with.
Exactly.
But they were guilted or manipulated because instead of doing that, instead of the church going a different angle, let Father convict somebody. If you're not convicted to drive the church bus, don't drive it.
Right.
If God hadn't convicted you to teach Sunday school, don't teach. Don't let anybody talk you into it. Well, brother, wait a minute, let me do my old preacher voice, okay? Oh, Brother Brent, you see how it is that we need, this church is small, and we need people like you to teach that's got God's hand upon you. I can see it. I can see it from blue eye to blue eye. Right. I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we talked about the membership and then the obligations that come along with, you know, participating. And then there's always the tithes and the offerings. And you mentioned that a minute ago. On how that when the tithes are down or the bills are due and they don't have quite enough, how they actually put a sermon together, a short 5-minute sermon, before they actually play the offertory song and pass the plate. Right. Now, I think it's amazing that I was in it long enough that I can tell you that they go to Malachi 3 every time.
Yeah, will 3, a, 5, yeah.
Will robbing a man God. Rob God?
Right.
You know.
Can I springboard off that for a moment?
Yeah.
Because I was the preacher. I was associated in many of the churches that where I was attended and served. But this one church, Brother Brent, when our offerings were low, the pastor would have me preach on tithe.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to ask God to forgive me because I would use Malachi 3:5, robbing God. And then I would use... I would also use, talk about Abraham tithe the Melchizedek,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, what I didn't tell the people that I knew that Melchizedek wasn't a Gentile priest because Judaism wasn't started then.
Mm-hmm.
It came, you know, those are descendants of Abraham that started Judaism per se. Abraham was from Mesopotamia.
Mm-hmm.
And the tenth that he gave, it was from looting. God told him to go in and annihilate these people, and he did it. And he took the spoils, and he gave a tenth of that to Melchizedek. And the last thing is, he only did it one time.
Right, it was a one-time event.
Well, I guess he was paying pay to play. That's what it
there
is.
You go. There you go. Well, when you get through the offerings, you have expectations and demands. You know, there's always the extras that need to be done. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that, but
well, yeah, it's guilt by association.
Mm-hmm.
When going on the institution is a business, for better or worse, that's what it is. If you look at the church nowadays, not all of them, and I'm not bashing all churches. There's some good churches out there,
mm-hmm.
but if you compare it to a business, a corporation has a CEO, the church has the pastor.
Right.
Corporation has a board of trustees, the church has the deacons or the elders.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the parishioners that function like the employees of the business. The tithes function kind of like union dues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some churches, listen, they keep records. They tell you, and this is not a lie, that they keep track of your tithe so you can write it off at the end of the year. They'll give you a statement on how much you give.
Right.
But by that, they look at that information so they know how much you give.
Mm-hmm.
It's none of their business how much you give. Now, I can justify it all I want to, but that's between you and God. That's not between you, God, and the church.
Right.
You know, the only time you see three involved is in a marriage,
mm-hmm.
where it's you, your spouse, and God. He enters into that relationship with you.
Right.
And so there it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is.
And the last one that I had on this list is the do's and the don'ts, the shoulds and shouldn'ts.
Oh, that's really good.
You know, that's an area where they get you in, they give you the message of the cross, they get you saved. And then the do's and the don'ts, if you'll do this and this and this, serve and be a servant and, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Be here on Sunday.
Right.
And don't do this. Give up the alcohol. Give up this. Give up that. And if you'll follow that guide of parameters, one day you'll get to go to the kingdom.
Or look at this. One day you can be like me.
Yeah. That's the unspoken. But it's there.
You know, yeah. I mean, the only guy I know ever did it was Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He laid out that challenge, but the do's and the don'ts are what kill the institution.
Right.
Because, and we're coming up on a hard, we got about 5 minutes left, but I'd like to, if we can stop there, and I want you to spend some time in this last 5 minutes to explain about the dead man that the institution is trying to revive through the do's and the don'ts and the shoulds and the shouldn'ts.
Yeah, well, just to go over it real quickly, you know, let me put a story to it. And this is the way I heard it. If you were going to open a dress shop or a shoe shop, some sort of a business, and you set up all the dresses on the mannequins and you put your plants in the corners and you get your lighting right and you get everything set to where it's just beautiful, and then you run a 60-second ad, and the ad only shows and talks about the door of your building. Oh, how beautiful the door is. It's a mahogany door. Look at the stained glass in the door, and it's the best of hardware in the door. Look at the grain of the door. It's a good quality, heavy door.
Right.
What's going to happen? You're going to go out of business real quick. You'll never get your first customer. But if you'll show them the picture window, they'll find the door.
Right.
And see, the church, what the church has done a wonderful job of recruiting people in. I've even heard the ministers say, well, now look here, you know, it's my job to preach to them and your job to get them here. And if everybody would ask one person for next Sunday, we'll have twice as big a crowd. Okay. And they've done a real good job of bringing them in. And Jesus is the door. And yes, we have got to understand that Jesus paid the price for us. It's not by what we do. It's by what he's done.
Right.
So that alone right there, if it's not by what we do or don't do, if it's by what Christ did, then if you go to the do's and the don'ts, then Christ died in vain, didn't he?
Right.
And quite honestly, if they would bring us in through the door of Jesus, Jesus brought the kingdom from heaven to earth. And what the church tries to do is, once they've, you know, put their emphasis on the door, they bring you in the door, and then with the do's and don'ts that they lay on you, they're just trying to reconstruct the old dead man.
Right.
That's a dead man. It's just walking cadaver.
They're trying to clean up the old nature.
And not show you who we are in Christ.
And who, think about it, if you found a feral animal, well, let's use a story that we watched when we were kids about Tarzan. I've seen several movies. And he grew up in the wild, and so they bring him out of the wild. He's considered a feral kid. Well, we've got to educate him and got to teach him the proper way. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're dealing with someone that grew up in the wild. And that's the same way our nature, this human, this old man, there's nothing good in the old man.
Right.
So why would you try to fix the old man?
It's supposed to be crucified with Christ.
That's what I thought.
You know? But when you sit back and watch the big picture, that's really not quite what's happening in the institutions, most of them. They're constantly putting an emphasis on the do's and the don'ts, and they're really trying to do more of reconstructing what's supposed to be dead.
Right.
And instead of showing you your identity of who you are in Christ.
See, here's the difference. And you said that made me think of it. Here's the difference between what religion, now I'm moving into religion for a moment. religion looks a lot and wants to look a lot like relationship. I told a woman one time, she was telling me about how she loved this evangelist, and I asked her, I said, why? She said, because he tells me how much Jesus loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her and I said, that's so sad. She was offended, man.
Yeah.
And she said, why is that sad? I said, ma'am, if I have to tell you how much your husband loves you, what kind of marriage do you have?
That's right.
And relationship, it would be like me trying to take two people and try to make them be in love with each other. We change through the relationship that we have with Father.
Mm-hmm.
Those things that He does, He changes in our life. We don't need the do's and the don'ts, because He changes that.
Mm-hmm.
He changes. The more we're with Him, the more we change.
Right.
And you cannot legislate. It's no different than trying to legislate morality or ethics.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. And that's the reason why I have people talk all the time, and they say, well, that's not right. That shouldn't be legal. There's a difference between justice, ethics, and morality. It's unethical, or it's really not moral to cheat on your spouse, but it's not illegal.
Right.
So you see the distinction there. Well, what the institution is trying to do, what religion is trying to do, is trying to make something out of something that can't be something, because there's no good in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our righteousness, Jesus said, is as filthy rags.
Right.
That means the good that you do, that's our righteousness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the bad that we do, is still bad. We want to say a positive and negative, you know.
Right.
Two negatives equal to positive, maybe in mathematics. But we do no good. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing.
Mm-hmm.
He only did what His Father told Him to do. And so, if that's the case, why, and I'll close off on this, why do we make religion in the institution our schoolmaster?
Right.
Because it's not supposed to be.
No.
When we have relationship, the relationship with Father is the schoolmaster. It's what takes away and changes our heart and moves us in the direction that He wants us to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen overnight. You know, why would an institution think, or religion, think that it could take somebody who is an alcoholic, put a new set of clothes on them, give them a bath, give them a shave, cut their hair. They may look different, but inside they are not different.
Right.
Because there has to be, it's a heart condition. It has to be a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have that change of heart, what changes internally affects outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you were talking about with the kingdom.
Kind of reminds me of the other day we went for coffee up there at the restaurant, and I stepped outside before you did. You got tied up with conversation with a fellow you knew, and I pointed out that bench to you.
Right. Yeah, that's really good.
That was pretty amazing, wasn't it?
Tell them about it before we go.
Well, what it was is they have, I'm sure you all have seen the advertising benches with different companies' name and their phone number and what they do. And they had one of these outside of this restaurant. And as I stood outside and looked at this thing, the seat was beautiful. It was a real nice wood, and it stained real nice and had the round cut corners, and it was shellacked, and it had real nice carriage bolts holding it to the frame. And they were all brand new ads on the part that you put your back against if you were to sit down at it. But as I stood there and looked at it, I thought, wow, that's pretty nice. I wonder how they put that together. So I grabbed a hold of it and leaned it forward away from the wall. And I showed you, didn't I, Dan?
Right, yeah.
The back was an old piece of barnwood that was rotting. They didn't care about what wasn't seen. They just cared about how it looked on the outside or to the normal eye that at it. But I took it a step further and looked at the back to see how they, you know, put it together and noticed that the ugly was against the wall.
Right.
Out of sight, out of mind.
But it was always still there.
But to pull up and look at it, it was a beautiful bench, wasn't it?
Right. Oh, man, yeah. Beautiful on the front side.
Yeah.
And so, and you know what? That's one thing that religion can't do. It can only cover up the ugly. It can't remove it.
Mm-hmm.
Only Father can do that.
And that comes through walking with Him on a daily basis.
Right.
Dialogue, not monologue. That's right. The other thing with what I've noticed in the churches. You listen to a guy for 30 minutes, and then when he's done, they have a closing prayer, and you leave. Nobody got to ask anything. Nobody got to add anything. And there was no dialogue. It was just coming at you, and then time to go.
Right.
But with Father, walking with Him each day, getting up every day, trusting Him, taking His hand, Father, I can't do this on my own. I need Your help today. That's really what He wants from us.
Right.
He created us because He was a lonesome God and He wanted fellowship. And when we start getting bogged down with the do's and the don'ts and the appointments and the hectic schedule of helping in the church, where does He fit into that?
Right.
So.
There you go. There's the do's and the don'ts.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We appreciate you listening. And, tune in. Next week we'll post another podcast, and we're going to work through the institutional experience. I've posted on the website, it's called The Desert Experience by Ken Kopey. You can go there under the Journey Downloads and download that. That's an ebook that Ken and Hilda, they worked on, I think it was maybe a couple of years ago. But it's really good, and if you're isolating, you know, those first set of questions we asked, if you feel like you're out there by yourself, you know, there's something more, you come away empty, there's a good chance that Father has you out in the desert, and you're going to find out it's a good place. But mm-hmm. That book is free. You can download it and read it on any tablet or phone or computer. Take a look at that. We appreciate you listening.